Chapter 4. News Tribune Resource Desk. Code and name, please. 1790-9, Fletch answered into the car phone. He was driving toward the Heights. Fletcher. I haven't had a call from you before. They don't let me out much. We have some messages for you. I want the address for Mr. and Mrs. Donald Edwin Habeck. I believe that's H-A-B-E-C-K, somewhere in the Heights. That's 12339 Palmyra Drive. Mapping? It's a little road northwest of Washington Boulevard. There are lots of little roads in there, winding roads. Your best bet would be to stop at intersection of Washington and 23rd and get exact directions. You'll be turning onto 23rd there. Okay. Messages are, call Barbara Ralton. She wants lunch with you. Says she has things to discuss. Like how many babies we're going to have? My. This old mother suggests you have lunch before you pick up on that heavy topic. Thank you. See how much it costs to feed just 2 mouths. It doesn't cost much to feed a kid. Just squirt orange juice into him a few times a day. Peanut butter. Ha! Beg pardon? Ha! How much does peanut butter cost? The bumper sticker on the car in front of Fletch said, "Nastiness will get you everywhere." Should have taken my own advice and stayed in bed. One more message for you, Fletcher, from Ann McGarahan, Society Page Editor. She said if you phoned in to tell you to report to her immediately. Your assignment has been changed. Oh. So it looks like you don't need that address in the Heights after all. One more question. Who is Pilar O'Brien? Why do you want to know? What kind of answer is that? A personal answer. Why do you want to know? Just heard of her. Does she work for the News Tribune? A hesitation slightly longer than normal before the News Tribune resource desk person said, "You're talking to her." Ah, then you're the lady who found Habeck this morning. Who? The guy dead in the parking lot. Is that his name? I thought you just asked for the address of... Forget about that, will you? How can I? How can a reporter I never heard of before be asking for the address of... I said, please forget about that. I never asked. Mrs. McGarahan, I'll call her. Tell me about finding Habeck. I'm not permitted to talk to any reporters until after the police question me. Then I may only report what I told the police. Geez, you know the rules. That's what Mr. Starbuck said. When you found him, was the car door open or closed? I can't answer you. It's important. Well, maybe that's why I can't answer you. Did you see a gun? What's your name, Fletcher? Shall I tell Mrs. McGarahan you're returning to the office? Sure, Fletch said. Tell her that. Would you please give me directions to Palmyra Drive? The eyes of the man behind the counter of the liquor store at the intersection of Washington Boulevard and 23rd Street shifted from Fletch through the store window to Fletch's Datsun 300ZX outside the front door, motor running, and back to Fletch. There was a hole in the car's muffler. The engine was noisy. I'm looking for the 12,000 block of Palmyra Drive, if there is such a thing. Looking Fletch full in the face, the man behind the counter whistled the first few bars of Colonel Bogey's March. Do I turn right on 23rd Street? The man raised a .45 automatic pistol from beneath the counter. He pointed it at Fletch's heart. Geez, Fletch said, I'm being held up by a liquor store. Fletch was grabbed from behind. Muscular brown arms, fingers clasped just under Fletch's ribcage, pinned Fletch's own arms to his side. Hey, Fletch yelled. I asked politely. The gun kept Fletch's heart as its target. The man holding the gun called toward the back of the store, Rosa, call the cops. I'll get the muffler fixed, Fletch said. I promise. Report a robbery in progress, the man behind the counter shouted. All I did was ask for directions. I didn't even ask for a change for a parking meter. He ain't got no gun, the voice behind Fletch's ear rumbled. The man behind the counter looked at Fletch's hands and then the pockets of his jeans. Let me point out to you, Fletch said with great sincerity, you can't shoot me with that cannon without blowing away the guy behind me. The gun wavered. The steel bands clamping Fletch's arms to his side slackened just slightly. Workman's compensation won't cover, Fletch yelled as he ran backward, pushing the guy holding him. Within a meter, they crashed into a tall wire bottle rack. Instantly, as bottles smashed, there was the reek of bourbon. The guy's hands disappeared from in front of Fletch. I'm getting cut, he yelled. Sitting on the guy's lap, Fletch bounced up and down once or twice, then he leaned back against his chest. Ow! The guy yelled. Bottles were raining down on them. One landed on Fletch's left knee, causing more pain than Fletch thought possible. The bottles that hit the floor smashed and splashed bourbon over both of them. The guy with the gun was moving along the counter, trying to get a bead on Fletch that did not include the guy Fletch was sitting on. Fletch rolled through broken glass and bourbon puddles to the door. Last time I asked you guys for directions. As he stood up, he grabbed the door open. Halfway through the door, the gun banged. The break-proof glass in the door shattered. Opening his car door, Fletch shouted back at the store, If you don't know where Palmyra Drive is, why don't you just say so? At a sedate pace, he turned right off Washington onto 23rd. Sirens filled the air. Chapter 5 Mrs. Haybeck? The lady with blued hair, flower-patterned dress, and green sneakers sat in a straight chair alone by the swimming pool. There was a red purse near her feet. Yes, I'm Mrs. Haybeck. Looking up at Fletch in the sunlight, her nose twitched like a rabbit's. I am Fletcher, News Tribune. I was to meet your husband at 10 o'clock. He's not here. Fletch had spent a moment ringing the front doorbell of 12339 Palmyra Drive. It was a nice property, a brick house floating on rhododendrons, but not to Fletch's mind the home of someone who could or would give away $5 million without taking deep breaths. And there was no one in the house to open the door to him on a Monday morning. Fletch had explored through the rhododendrons until he found the blue-haired lady contemplating the clear, unruffled swimming pool. One never knows where he is, Mrs. Haybeck said. Donald wanders away. That's the only thing for certain that can be said for Donald. He wanders away. She reached out her hand and closed her fingers as if grabbing something that wasn't there. She said, He wanders. Maybe I can talk to you. Again, her nose twitched. Young man, are you very, very drunk? No, ma'am. Do I seem drunk? You smell drunk. Fletch held a section of his t-shirt up to his nose and sniffed it. That's my new deodorant. Do you like it? It's an odorant. It's called Bamo. It's called bourbon. Mrs. Haybeck averted her nose. You reek of bourbon. Fletch sniffed his t-shirt again. It is pretty bad, isn't it? I know bourbon when I smell it, said Mrs. Haybeck. You're not wearing a very good brand. It was on special sale, I think. Friday that bourbon did not exist. Mrs. Haybeck spoke slowly, and there was a sadness in her small gray eyes. I've heard of you newspaper men. Donald once told me about a journalist he knew who filled his waterbed with bourbon. He told his friends he had refined the art of being sloshed. Lying there, he could nip from the waterbed's valve. He said he could get the motion of his bourbon bed to match exactly the swing and sway of the world as he got drunk. Well, he sank lower and lower. Within 3 months, he was back sleeping flat on the floor. Mrs. Haybeck resettled her hands in her lap. It was a double bed, too. Fletch took a deep breath and held it. He sensed that Mrs. Haybeck would be offended by laughter. Tightening his stomach muscles to restrain himself, he looked away across the pool. Down a grassy slope, a gardener wearing a sombrero was weeding a flower bed. Oh, my, he finally said, sighing. Truth is, I had an accident. You people always have an excuse for drinking. Good news, bad news, no news. No, Fletch said, a real accident. I stopped at the liquor store at the intersection of Washington and 23rd, and while I was there, a rack of bourbon got tipped over. It splashed all over an employee and me. Her pale, sad eyes studied Fletch. I haven't been drinking, honest. May I sit down? Reluctantly, she said, All right. He sat in another wrought-iron straight chair. She was in the shade of the table's umbrella, but he was not. About this $5 million, Mrs. Haybeck. $5 million, she repeated. You and your husband decided to give to the art museum? Slowly she said, Yes, in the hiss of a deflating tire. Tell me about it. What? What about it? She asked. Fletch hesitated. I was hoping you'd tell me about it. Mrs. Habeck drew herself up slightly in the chair. Yes, well, my husband and I decided to give $5 million to the art museum. I know that much. Your husband is a lawyer? My husband, said Mrs. Habeck, wanders off. Away, away. He always has, you know. That's something that can be said about him. I see, Fletch said politely. He was beginning to wonder how much vodka Mrs. Habeck had slipped into her morning coffee. He's senior partner in the firm of Habeck, Harrison, and Holler. I told him he shouldn't do that, Mrs. Habeck said, frowning. 3 different H sounds. In fact, 3 different ha sounds. Still frowning, she looked at Fletch. Don't you agree? Of course, said Fletch, disconcerting. Gives the impression of inconsistency, she said. As if, you know, the partners couldn't be counted on to get together on anything, to agree. Yes, said Fletch. To say nothing of the fact that when people say Habeck, Harrison, and Holler, what they actually hear themselves saying, underneath everything, you know, is ha, ha, ha. Ah, said Fletch. Except the actual sound is hey, ha, haw, which is worse. Much worse, agreed Fletch. His fingers wiped the perspiration off his forehead. I wanted him to take on a 4th partner, said Mrs. Habeck, named Burke. Didn't Mr. Burke wish to join the firm? Mrs. Habeck looked at Fletch resentfully. Donald said he didn't know anyone named Burke. Oh, I see. At least not any lawyer named Burke. Not any lawyer named Burke who was free to join the firm. Did you know a lawyer named Burke free to join the firm? No. Sweating in bourbon-soaked clothes in the sunlight, Fletch's head was beginning to reel. He felt like he was on a bourbon bed. Does your husband do any corporate law work? No, she said he was never a bit cooperative. He was always arguing in court. There was still no humor in her sad eyes. I know his reputation is as a criminal lawyer. Then Fletch cringed, awaiting what Mrs. Habeck would make of criminal lawyer. She said, yes. Fletch blew air. Mrs. Habeck, did you or your husband have any income other than that derived from his practice of criminal law and from his partnership in Habeck, Harrison, and Holler? Hey, ha, ha, she said. I mean, were either of you personally wealthy? Had you inherited? Mrs. Habeck said, my husband is most apt to wear black shoes. You don't see black shoes too often in the Heights. He doesn't like to dress flamboyantly, as many criminal lawyers do. Fletch waited a moment. She asked, you wouldn't think a man who wears black shoes would be so apt to wander away, would you? He waited another moment. It isn't that I'm trying to invade your privacy, Mrs. Habeck. I don't have any privacy. She looked at her green sneakers. It's just that I'm trying to assess what donating $5 million to the museum means to you and your husband. I mean, is he almost giving away the proceeds of his life's work? Mister, you're making me sick.
Beg pardon?
The smell of you. You seem sober enough for a newspaper man, for a young man, but you reek of bourbon. It's beginning to affect my stomach and my head. I'm sorry, Fletch said. Truth be known, me too. Well, what are we going to do about it? Fletch looked at the back of the house. Well, maybe I could go take a shower. If you said bourbon got splashed all over your clothes, your taking a shower and putting the same clothes back on won't do any good. Right, said Fletch. That's very sensible. He nodded. Very sensible. Why don't you jump in the pool? It's right there. I could do that. Fletch began taking things out of his pockets. With my clothes on. Why would you jump into the pool with your clothes on? To get the smell of bourbon off them? But then your clothes would be wet. You want to go around the rest of the day in wet clothes? It's a hot day. Hotness has nothing to do with wetness. Hotness? My daughter used to say that when she was a little girl. Hotness. No wonder she ended up married to a poet. What's his name? I don't know. Tom Farley, Okay. I was going to ask you about your children. They're fine, thank you. Obviously, you take your clothes off before you jump in the pool. Well, then I won't have any clothes on. I mind. I'm a mother and a grandmother. I don't mind. This is a private pool. She looked down the slope at the gardener. That's Pedro. He doesn't mind. If he minds seeing a naked man, he shouldn't be a gardener. Clearly. Mrs. Habeck stood up. Take off your clothes. I'll avert my eyes so you can tell your girlfriend no woman has seen you naked since your mother last changed your diapers. Last week, was it? Fletch was taking off his sneakers. Really, I don't mind. Leave your clothes on the chair. After you get in the pool, say, hello, and I'll pick up your clothes, take them inside, and put them in the washer and in the dryer. This is very nice of you. Standing, Fletch peeled off his stinking T-shirt. Hello, Mrs. Habeck called loudly. She was waving at the gardener. He raised his head and looked at her from under his sombrero. He did not speak or wave back. Fletch averted his eyes. He took off his jeans and underpants and dived into the pool. Enjoying the cool water and getting away from the stink of his clothes, he drifted underwater across the pool, turned, and swam back to the nearer edge. He stuck his nose above the edge of the pool. Hello, he said. Mrs. Habeck was already headed for the house with his clothes and sneakers. She was also carrying her red pocketbook. Chapter 6. Hey! It was the third time Fletch had heard someone yell that, but this time, just as he was about to make his turn between laps, the shout was distinct. There could be no doubt it was he who was being hailed. He put his hand on the pool edge and raised his head. As water cleared from his opened eyes, he saw Biff Wilson, fully dressed, including suit coat and tie, standing on the pool edge. Hello, Fletch said. God, Biff said, it's you. No, it's not, said Fletch. It's Fletcher. 2 meters behind Biff stood Lieutenant Gomez. That your name, Fletcher? Yes, sir. You were just in the parking lot of the News Tribune. Yes, sir. How did you get here so fast? I didn't stop for coffee. Are you the reason that young cop asked me if I have false teeth? False what? Biff stuck his thumb under his upper front teeth and demonstrated how solid they were. False teeth! Gee, Biff, that gum cement you use must be pretty good. Biff gave Gomez a tired look, then turned to Fletch. Are you or are you not an employee of the News Tribune? I am, sir. Biff spoke distinctly. What is your assignment? I am newly assigned to society. Society? Biff's face expressed the contempt he had for society writers. What are you doing here? Here? Here, at the home of Donald Edwin Habeck. Swimming, sir. Biff exploded at Gomez. He's swimming bare-assed. Fletch said, I was assigned to interview Donald Habeck at 10 o'clock this morning regarding the $5 million he and his wife had decided to donate to the art museum. But you knew Donald Habeck was dead. I saw you in the parking lot. Fletch shrugged. Obstacles are encountered in doing any story. As if personally offended, Biff shouted at the sky, He's swimming bare-assed in the murder victim's pool! Lieutenant Gomez stepped closer to the pool edge. What have you done since you've been here? I tried to interview Mrs. Habeck. The eyes of both men widened. Did you see Mrs. Habeck? Gomez asked. Yes. Tell us about Mrs. Habeck, Biff said. What does she look like? About 60, blue hair, green sneakers, a sort of weird lady. Biff and Gomez looked at each other. Son, Biff said with heavy patience, what are you doing swimming bare-assed in Habeck's pool 2 hours after Habeck was murdered? I didn't smell so good. My clothes... What? Said Gomez. You see, I got held up by this liquor store on my way here. I got bourbon splashed all over me. I was really reeking of the stuff. Biff stepped on Fletch's hand on the pool edge. Ow! Fletch went entirely underwater a moment and rubbed his hand. When he resurfaced, Biff and Gomez were still there, staring down at him. Fletch placed his left hand in a pool drain. He asked, What's the matter with you guys? Oh, nothing, Biff answered. We should have expected to find a reporter from the News Tribune swimming bare-assed in the murder victim's pool 2 hours after his death. Fletch asked, Isn't that what society writers do? Probably, answered Biff. I wouldn't know. Where are your clothes? Gomez asked.
Mrs. Habeck took them.
Mrs. Habeck took them,
Biff repeated. He sighed.
Where is she? Fletch asked. Didn't she let you in the house?
The cook let us into the house, Gomez said. He added, she just returned that moment from grocery shopping.
You haven't talked to Mrs. Habeck?
Mrs. Habeck isn't here, Gomez said.
She isn't? Where are my clothes?
I think that's something we'd all like to know, Gomez answered.
She couldn't have left with my clothes, Fletch said.
Maybe this Mrs. Habeck wanted to make another donation to a museum, Biff chuckled. An example of late 20th century bummery costumery. Gomez laughed. I didn't get much out of her anyway, Fletch said.
Oh, you didn't, said Biff.
She got your clothes off you.
Frankly, she seemed a little off the wall. Weird, you know what I mean?
Weird, huh? She got your clothes off you and disappeared with them, and you say she's weird?
Come on, Biff, Fletch said.
Down the grassy slope, Fletch saw the gardener's sombrero rise, move a few meters, and lower from sight again. Biff said, you're not supposed to be here, and you know it.
There's still the story of the donation, Biff. What happens to it now?
Your name is Fletcher, Biff confirmed,
spelled with an F.
Get out of my face, Fletcher. Get out of it and stay out of it. Dripping and naked, Fletch stood over the gardener.
Any idea where I can get a towel?
The gardener looked up at him. His face was younger than Fletch had expected. Slowly, the gardener stood up. He took off his denim shirt and handed it to Fletch.
Gee, thanks. I really mean it. Those guys just said the cook is in the house.
He wrapped the shirt around him.
I'll get it back to you as soon as I find some clothes.
Nice guy. Give someone his shirt right off his back. The gardener knelt down and resumed weeding the flower bed.
You have any idea where Mrs. Habeck went?
La señora no es la señora.
What?
La señora no es la mujer, la esposa.
What? The lady is not the wife? You speak English better than I do. What are you saying?
You mean that broad you were talking to, right?
The gardener asked.
Right.
She's not Mrs. Habeck.
She's not?
Mrs. Habeck is young and pretty.
The gardener sketched a shapely form in the soil with his finger.
Like that, blonde.
She said she was Mrs. Habeck.
She's not.
She's the cook?
The cook is Hispanic, 40 years old. She lives 2 blocks from me.
Then who was she?
I don't know, the gardener said. Never saw her before.
As Fletch was going through the Habeck's kitchen, the cook shrieked at the sight of a strange man, naked except for a denim shirt hanging from his waist. As Fletch was going up the stairs, Biff Wilson came out of the living room and said,
I've just talked to Frank Jaffe. He says you're a dumb kid who misunderstood your assignment. You're going to get your ass back to the office and report to Ann McGarahan in society double quick time.
Right, said Fletch, double quick.
He began taking the stairs 2 at a time.
Why are you going upstairs? Biff yelled.
Fletch yelled back,
I parked my car up here.
As Fletch handed the denim shirt back to the gardener, Fletch said, Sorry I can't give it back to you washed, dried, and pressed, but that's how I lost my last clothes. They were headed for a wash. As the gardener stood up and put back on his shirt, his eyes crinkled at the sight of the clothes Fletch was wearing. Fletch shrugged.
Found this suit in Habeck's closet. He'll never miss it.
The suit is short, I'm fat.
I got a belt, nice tie. The necktie should distract the eye from the rest of the ensemble, right?
You're ready to boogie, man.
Thanks again. The cook yelled at me.
I heard. I thought it was the noon whistle.
What would she have done if you hadn't lent me your shirt?
Scrambled eggs while they were still in the refrigerator.
Where'd you learn your Spanish? Fletch asked.
BHHS.
BHHS?
Yeah, the gardener said, stooping to his work. Beverly Hills High School.
Chapter 7.
Cecilia's Boutique, Cecilia speaking. Have you considered jodhpurs?
Oh, I'm thinking very seriously about jodhpurs, Fletch said into his car phone.
They're just coming in, sir. In another month, they'll be all the rage. I'm sure your wife would be really impressed if you bought her jodhpurs now, impressed by your prescience.
So should the jodhpurs be impressed. I haven't got a wife. Waiting at the red light at the intersection of Washington and 23rd, Fletch saw that all was peaceful at the liquor store.
plywood had been nailed over the shattered break-proof glass of the door. They were ready for their next attack. "May I speak with Barbara Ralton, please?" Cecilia hesitated.
"The sales personnel are not to take personal phone calls. May I take a message for her?"
"Sure, this is Fletcher. Tell her I can't see her for lunch today. Please also tell her I look forward to buying her a pair of jodhpurs at Saks."
"Here I am,"
Fletch said.
"Here who is?"
Anne McGarahan, society editor of the News Tribune, was a tall, broad-shouldered woman in her 40s. She sat behind a desk that was too small for her in an office that was distinctly too small for her.
"I thought you people in society knew everyone."
"Everyone who is anyone," Anne said softly. The corners of her mouth twinged with a smile. "Which obliges me to repeat, who are you?"
"I am Fletcher."
Fletch looked at the dead brown fern on Anne's windowsill.
"A nobody, beneath your attention. May I go now?"
"Where have you been?"
"Oh, I changed clothes."
Fletch held out the skirts of Donald Haybeck's suit coat. "Frank said something about my needing a suit and tie for this job." Anne studied him over her half lenses.
"And that's the suit? That's the tie?"
"Good material in it."
"I dare say. Clearly you made your investment in the material and not the tailoring."
"I've lost weight."
"Gotten taller, too. Your trouser cuffs are a half foot above your ankles."
"Have you heard that in another month jodhpurs will be all the rage? Lord, what I bring to this department."
"I see. Your sleeves are modified knickers, too, are they? They stop halfway down your forearms."
"I'm ready to cover the social scene."
"The young women around here call you Fletch, don't they?"
"When they call me at all." Fletch sat in a curved back wooden chair.
"Why don't they use your first name?"
"Irwin?"
"What's wrong with Irwin?"
"Sounds like a hesitant cheer."
"Your middle name, then. Don't you have a middle name?"
"Morris."
"Oh, I know a lot of nice people called Maury."
"I'm not one of them."
"Okay, you're a Fletch. It just sounds so much like a verb."
"To Fletch or not to Fletch, that is the copulative."
"Guess I'll have to Fletch. Well, Fletch, not only has Frank Jaffe sent me you with warnings regarding your appearance, which, however dire, were still insufficient, he also sent me a strong suggestion as to what your first assignment might be."
"I know what it is."
"You do?"
"Yeah. Stay on this story concerning the $5 million Donald Haybeck and his wife decided to donate to the art museum. To stay right on it until I get to the bottom of it and everything else concerning the Haybecks, right?"
"Wrong, of course."
"That was my assignment for about a minute and a half this morning."
"Wasn't Donald Haybeck the man murdered in our parking lot this morning?"
Fletch shrugged.
"Just makes the story more interesting."
"Oh, we have an interesting story for you to work on, Fletch. It was Frank's suggestion. In fact, he mentioned the suggestion originally came from you."
"From me? A story for the society pages?"